This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Pamel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
One more time. Sound mighty sweet. Somebody by the hand, if you will. Grab somebody by the hand, if you will. Grab somebody by the hand, if you will. Father God, we come now just to give you praise and give you glory, Father. Father, dear God, we thank you, dear God, for an opportunity to lift you up once again, Father. Father, you're so worthy and you're so awesome, oh dear God, of all our praises, oh dear Father. But Father, I ask, dear God, that you bless the neighbor hands that we're holding on our left, our right, our front, and our back. We haven't even spoke to them all week, dear Father, but just the feeling of their hand lets us know that you was able, God, dear God, to bring us to. Now, Father, let me down to the deep treasures of your word, oh dear God. Honor my preparation on today, oh dear Father. But most of all, dear Father, I want you to hide me behind this sacred desk. Hide me behind that cross. Meld, mold me, fill me, and use me. I ask in the only name that matter. The matchless, small, and majestic name of the Master Jesus, we pray. Amen. Drop those hands and get the Lord a praise. That'll be all right. Get the Lord a praise. The Lord been good to you. Amen. If you don't have nothing to praise him for, if you don't have nothing to praise him for, I'm going to give you something to praise him for, because I'm a little bit nervous because I'm up here with these giant of a preachers. But that's 5 reasons why you ought to praise the Lord. Number 1, he woke you up this morning. Number 2, he woke you up this morning. Y'all still ain't got it. Number 3, he woke you up this month. Number 4, he woke you up this month. Number 5, he woke you up this month. Is there anybody grateful? Y'all better stop it, Lord have mercy. Sit on down. Amen. Amen. Lord have mercy. Yeah, we're grateful, amen, to the Lord and to your kind-hearted pastor, amen. Amen. I've got a little nervous because, amen, he's a giant of a preacher and a pastor and a friend, amen. Amen. We blessed to be preaching where he preached the most. God has him stand and preach the most to his, to the flock that God has given him.
Amen.
And it's the tribal chief in it, and Pastor Ham, amen.
Amen.
Amen. His brother sent me a text this morning. I ain't gonna sing. He's all right. Amen. And to these sons and daughters of New Zion, amen. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, God bless you also. Amen. Amen. I just whispered over to your pastor and told him he don't take no time getting to the preaching. So that means I got 2 hours to say what I got to. Yeah. Y'all laughing, but he told me I can stay here by myself. He said, lock the door behind me. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We grateful to celebrate with you on this 113th church anniversary. God is good. Some don't make it that long. Amen. Amen. There is a word from the Lord on today. If you grab your copy of God's word and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew 13. Man. And verse 24. Amen. Matthew 13 and 24. When you have the words, I have the word. Amen. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, at least while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forward to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Jesus told his parable, he said, let both grow together until harvest. I'm going to tag this text and preach with this thought in our mind. I'm going to talk about the true and false church. I need your prayers. The true and false church. I'm going to come get you. The true and false church. When you think about church, what sort of image comes to your mind? Does it suggest to you a snooty religious country club bound by strange, almost secret rituals, traditions, and jargon? Or maybe a political action group waging war on behalf of social agenda of either the left or the right? Or maybe it suggests to you a waiting room where people wait expectantly but rather passively for the next bus to heaven. Or maybe it suggests to you a collection of hypocrites who care more about expensive pipe organs and stained glass and stone buildings than it do about the hurting and hungry in the world. Or maybe the church suggests to you a place where religious junkies gather to get their feel-good fix so they can get through another week. Or maybe a collection of sanctimonious killjoys who want to legislate morality for the rest of the world. But let's be honest, the church has been all of these things at one time or another. Again and again, it has justified every bitter charge, every gripe and criticism that everyone has ever leveled on the church. Yet, in spite of all these flaws and weakness, and all these hypocrisies and sins and all of this, the church has been the most powerful force on earth. Yeah, and it has been light
in the midst of blackness and darkness. It has been sought both a preservative and a delightful season. And corruption prone in unsavior society, the church has been that. Jesus stated it's a paradox, but absolutely that's what it is. But listen, how can the church be both sin-ridden and salt and light? How can the church be both a source of delusion and a source of illumination at the same time? The answer is found in the Bible. It is this. What we call the church is really two churches. One is selfish, power hungry, and sinful. The other is loving, forgiving, and godly. One has a long history of stirring up hatred, conflict, and bloody persecution, and all in the name of God and religion. The other has always sought to heal human hurts, break down barriers of race and class, and deliver men and women from their guilt and shame, fear and ignorance. One is a false church, a counterfeit masquerading as Christianity, but whose head is Satan. The other is a true church founded by Jesus Christ, mirroring his authentic character through acts of love, self-sacrifice, courage, and truth. For some reason, we are continually surprised when we are confronted by this counterfeit church. For some of us, a painful encounter with this false church creates so much pain and delusion that we actually begin to doubt the reality of God and this true church. But we shouldn't be surprised or delusioned when we bump up against counterfeit Christianity. Jesus himself predicted that the false church would come. That's what he talked about in Matthew. He tells us a parable, tells us a story about his coming and the second coming, tells us about a false church and a true church. Nuzan, I want to ask you a question. We done took many tests, some of them true and false. I love those true and false. But I'm going to ask yourself a question. Are you the true or false church? Because if you're the true church, then God has left you preserved for purpose. They missed that. He left you here, but he's talking about the second coming when he come. Talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares. Talked about the tares, it's the weeds. Talked about how he sold them and how they began to grow. And at night while they slept, the devil came in and sold some weeds. What happens is one is counterfeit. One is authentic. Watch this. As it grows together in the church, true and false church together, one and the other are different, but as they immature, they look exactly the same. I just left from a church at 11 o'clock with some tares and wheat. And I'm looking at some wheat and some tares right now. As they growing together, they grows. And somebody notice, so-and-so over there is doing something, Pastor, that it shouldn't be. I think we need to kick them out of the church. I think so-and-so over there drunk a beer last night. I think we need to bring him to the altar. Truth of the matter is, you might be a weed also. Jesus says, hold up. Hold up. Don't you dare pull them out. Don't you dare do it. Because what happens is that when they're growing together, the weeds, the roots, it's tangled up together. And if you pull it out, you'll pull both out. There's something about, mama say don't hate people and certain things, but I dislike church folks that try to pull out the weeds. In reality, they're a weed themselves. We shouldn't look at each other and say you and this and point the finger at somebody else. We ought to let God do the separating. I think I'm in the right church. But watch me now. If you don't do anything and you listen to the word that comes from the man of God every Sunday, what it does is it strengthens the wheat in the church so the tares can't pull out the wheat. You ain't got to worry about falling all out when somebody step on your toes. The wheat. Yeah, I'm going to get that in a minute. The wheat, the true Christians, the son of the kingdom, are those who have experienced what the Bible calls the new birth. Question, have you been born again? I didn't ask the question, in these 113 years, have you been baptized? I ask you, have you been born again? Son of the evil one are the false Christians, never born again by the power of the Spirit of God through faith in the Word of God, but whose purport to be Christians. Why? Because they have fulfilled some outward religious rituals. Or maybe they have joined a local church and now they feel like they are genuine wheat. Or maybe they are relying on outward moral conduct. Oh, I treat everybody right. And you could be the biggest weed it is. You can. Or maybe they went to a clock on their own even sin and outward covering a religiousness. Maybe they covering it up. Maybe they in the pulpit. Maybe they're on the deacon board. Maybe they're in the choir. Because the truth of the matter is, we can sing the religious stuff and we can pray the religious prayer, but yet not be saved. Because there's a true and a false church, because it's false and true, because I can come in and love some people, but yet turn my nose up at other people. Amen. Y'all better help me preach. You make me think I'm talking about you. Which one are you? Grows together, looks together. You know, we worried about how we're supposed to dress, but dressing don't mean that you're saved and born again. Because guess what? God is giving out blessing on the inside, but some of you weeds in here complain about how the young people dress on the inside, but I don't see you on the outside passing out clothes. Y'all better help me over here. I don't see none of the weeds outside passing out clothes for them to dress right. No wonder the church is confused. If we ignore this picture that Jesus has given us, we'll be confused about the tares and the wheats. We are unable to recognize the dual nature of the false and true church. Then watch this. Then we could be ecclesiastical schizophrenia. Let me bring it for you. Yeah. Let me bring it for you. I know Dr. Ham know what I'm talking about. That means you're crazy. Truth of the matter is, going to get through it. That no denomination, no organization describes the real church. It's in your heart. You are the church. We change the denomination so we can fit in. But the reality is, it's our identity. Are you identifying with God? Or are you just trying to be relevant with God? I want to identify with God. I'm not trying to be relevant. I'm trying to identify with God. Then I'm a true Christian. Well, just take 10 seconds right now if you're a true Christian and just praise the Lord for that. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Counterfeit Christians, watch me. Counterfeit Christians only manifest counterfeit Christianity. However, true Christians are capable of displaying both true and false. Christianity. Don't not at the same time. So genuine Christians can, through ignorance or willful disobedience, display a false and counterfeit Christianity. That means you know better, but you chose not to do better. The false Christians really just don't know, but the true Christians should be doing better, but at certain times you want to be saved, and other times you don't want to be saved. But the truth of the matter is, you ought to be saved all the time. Yeah. Sunday mornings. True Christians, the genuine Christians, when they masquerade and put on that mask, and sometimes they done got mad at somebody on the outside, and they come in here not speaking, they can usher looking like they've been sucking on lemons and talking about they love the Lord. If you look like that, you ought to stay home, because you can't help nobody in the house of the Lord. I almost came in the church, but I saw you, I had to back up. The sad truth, watch this. That's a sad truth, is that it's deceptively easy to be a Christian yet not live a Christian life. Because why? Because when you're doing all the stuff that make you think you're a Christian, trying to impress people that don't really like you, because they're already false Christian, they ain't gonna love nobody anyway. What you do is you deceive your own self. You're thinking you're deceiving God, but reality, you're deceiving your own self. So if anybody is crazy, it's you that's crazy, because you're not thinking that you are God. Yeah, but understand this. God has placed us both in the house of the Lord together. Yeah. You might not been around here for the whole 113 years of this church, but every Sunday you come in here, and you real Christians might have trying to get on. You put on your favorite cologne, your favorite dress, your favorite suit, and you look like you save. But in reality, you're not saved, because you have not tried to get the person that you know is unsaved. You left somebody home in the bed and didn't bring them to church. What? But this powerful church, I'm almost done. What keeps us from experiencing that power today? The major barrier is ignorance. That's not a bad word. That's not a bad word. Don't look at me like that. It simply means you don't know. But because guess what? You beating yourself up and down thinking that God don't love you because you're going through a situation. But reality, if you read your word, God say, I love you because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God brought you right there, and in the end, he's going to bring you out. So you, all you got to do is learn what the Bible say. Don't wait for God to bring you out of it. Start praising while you're in it. Is there anybody up in this house going through some stuff? I dare you to start praising the Lord, because once you start praising the Lord, everything going to be all right. Is there anybody in here that got a sickness in their body? I dare you to turn on your life, because watch this, watch this, watch me now. Because what happens is when an airplane is trying to land, they got to turn the runway lights on so they can know where the plane land. Is there anybody in here need a deliverance from the Lord? The Lord say, I'm in New Zion on the 113th church anniversary, and I need you to turn your lights on so I can touch down up in there. Is there anybody in here say, I need a blessing? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. See what happened? The plane is flying around this church right now, and he said, it ain't you. It ain't you. Because you ain't turned no lights on. You ain't need nothing. But I'm looking for you over there that got your lights on. A matter of fact, I knew you was going to be in New Zion today because you turned your lights on last night when you start praying and praising me. So I come in here to bless you for your labor in the house of the Lord. Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to holler at you. Let me holler at you. I don't mean to holler at you. Wait. Yeah. See, most of us are unaware of the biblical pattern for the church. Mm-hmm. I think I heard it when me and Pastor Ham was in the study. I think somebody reading it say, on the day of Pentecost, they came together. And what else you read? That they was on. There's no way that weeds and tear can be on one accord. Because when it's time for harvest, what the weed does is head get full and the weeds start bowing down. And that's how you can tell the difference. But the weed gonna stand up and be proud and say, I'm in this thing. Is there anybody in here say, I don't mind bowing down for the Lord because the Lord has brought me out. I'm gonna be a good church, the true church, the living church of God, because God is ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? I tried him. Mm-hmm. I tried the Lord. What we need to realize is that elements of true and false Christianity will be intermingled in the same world, in the same church, even in the same person. Watch this. I got to go. Watch this. Once you realize that you can be that person too, then you'll stop looking at other people. Because what you dealing with and what you going through, I'm just one step from being right there with you. It don't matter. You think he don't bother me in this pulpit? A matter of fact, before I got here, he dealt with me. I got to pray much, because if I don't, every now and then, you want to say, oh, watch that right now. Yeah. I'm coming. So our goal as Christians should not be to go on a search and destroy mission against the weeds. but to do everything we can to make the true wheat in the church so strong that the weeds can't damage it. Because why? Because the devil was here before we got here. Yeah. I say he was here before you got here. So that means, and also in the book of Genesis, and to just make the point, to make the Genesis, he say he going to put some enmity between your seeds and her seed. That means the devil got some children. And he was waiting on them to come through the door. So every Sunday, the devil's children are right here worshiping with you. A matter of fact, the devil's children get up praising the Lord before you do. Matter of fact, some of the children will run around the church praising the Lord. So you will be... Who are the wheat? We don't never realize the power that is available to us. God wants to do amazing things through this ministry. And I don't care if it's got, if it's had 5,000, 10,000 in here, and I don't have but two. I'ma praise God like it's mine, because once we realize that, the Lord will bless you. See, the reason some of us are not blessed, because we don't know how to celebrate somebody else's blessing. Somebody else get a call or something. You say, you ain't gonna keep it. I don't know why they went and got that. But you saying, look at here. See, every now and then, you gotta have a crazy praise. They say, what's wrong with you? How you get that call? How you get all that? I don't know. You just got to say, I don't know praise. And every now and then, you got to get crazy. You say, it cost me $50 to get my makeup done. And I bought all this weave in my hair. But I don't mind getting dirty for the Lord. I don't mind shaking it off for the Lord. Because one thing I know is the Lord has been good to me. Has the Lord been good to you? Then you shouldn't mind praising the Lord. Watch this. I do believe that you was preserved for purpose. Because even though the 113 years you've been worshiping with weeds, you didn't know them, but God didn't allow the weeds to choke out the wheat. He didn't allow. Through 113 years, he preserved you for a purpose. If God didn't let you die, that means he got something for New Zion to do to affect the community or whatever. But see, I ain't got nobody believing in that. He called you. He preserved you for a purpose. If you believe God that left you, he didn't let the devil take you out, because say, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell. He left you there for a purpose. Let me go. As he dealt with the false and the true, he said he gonna do the separating of the second coming. I know some of y'all are smarter than me. You got your degrees and all that. I know the kingdom is not the church, but the church is a fruit of the kingdom. Now, yeah, so watch. He shares this, and he shares something else with us. He shares this. He say, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I'm just Pastor Ham. I'm just wondering why he didn't get to wheat first. Why didn't he get the wheat first? Why did he have to get that first? See, you thinking that what you're going through, the devil has already got you, but guess what? He's already a defeated foe. Because in the Old Testament, they never dealt with dead things. So if he's already a defeated foe, then I'm just imagining that Jesus say, get rid of the dead stuff first. See, if there's anybody dead in the church, need to be out of the church. See, if there are any ushers in here, open the door and let all the dead get out of here so we can have some church because we're about to go home. He said, let burn the wheat, the tares first. Then he tell another one, another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, preserved for purpose. That's you. That means you are the true church. That means that you are the enterprise of God's church. It's an enterprise. That means he took 113 years, that means you didn't start it out with the membership you have now. Ah, God, that means he took a few people. See, what happens is that Nuzan imitated Christ, imitated Jesus, because when Jesus started his church, he started out with 12 of them, and one of them was a devil. Y'all missing me, huh? See, if Jesus had two churches in one, what you think about you? He started out small with 12, and one of them tried to take him out. But he didn't pull him out first, even though Jesus knew that. He allowed him time to get it right. See, God allowing y'all time to get it right. But we're going to forfeit our own time by messing around with dead things. The enterprise of God. But not only that. Not only that. An enterprise of God. You preserve on purpose. Watch this. It's the expansion of God's church. It's right there. It's right there. I need the Bible to preach. Look. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That's a small thing which a man took and sowed in his field. That's the expansion. Look. Which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs, and becomes a tree. See, that's the expansion of it. It becomes greater. See, somebody receiving that word. I say greater, and see, God used greater in the Bible. See, God doesn't expect us to do the same thing over and over. It's my church. You better sing them hymns the same way. You better not do that. You better put your skirt down. I believe I just stepped on some toes. The expansion, that means it's greater. That means it started growing of God's church. See, it started small, but yet the expansion, because God is in it, it grew. But can I tell you about a seed? I know the Bible says tree, but this is like a shrub. It don't look real good. See, this is a funny looking tree. See, that's why people on the outside look at Oak Ridge and New Zion and other churches and look and say, it don't take all that. Why they doing that? Why they 3 o'clock in the evening having church? It don't take all that to have no church. If I was them, I wouldn't doing that. As a matter of fact, they gonna talk about me in a minute when I say, I know it was the Lord. It don't take all that, but the truth of the matter is when I get to that ain't for you anyway. If you don't get the substance, that's for me, because how God been to me. Because when I get there, I can shout all by myself. What I'm giving you, you should be shouting now. Don't wait and shout with me. Let me go. My time is up. I don't want the pastor to leave and lock the door on me. Watch this. The last thing. It's an encouragement. It's the encouragement of the church of God. Watch that. So that the birds of the air come and nest in the branches. It's an encouragement. Yeah. See, New Zion is an encouragement of the church of God. See, but watch this now. The birds, see, I ain't got time to argue with this. Gavin, look. If you started off from the beginning, he dealing about souls and the devil came and took the seed and all that. That means that the birds in this text don't represent good people. It represents that devil too. That means what the church built and landed on, the devil still going to rest his head on. Y'all better help me, New Zion. See what happens, even though you are an encouragement to the community, the devil's still gonna rest his own head on that. How you mean? What you mean, preacher? Every now and then, the weeds gonna come in looking like the wheat, looking like Christian, and say, guess what? Well, pastor, can you pay my light bill? Well, we don't pay light bill. I thought they was a real church. They don't even help me. Well, you ain't saying nothing when I help you keep your water on last month. They supposed to be helping people. They ain't helping people. Well, the church help people that pay their tithes first. I thought I had a church. I just lost the church right there. I just lost the church right there. It's an encouragement. You know why it's an encouragement? Because you preserve on purpose. Because you are a spiritual hospital.
Amen.
You're a spiritual hospital, and guess what? Nobody is on staff. What you mean by that, preacher? Everybody that come in from the pastor is sick with something. A matter of fact, I was so sick, but I got my prescription through the word of God, and I was able to stand up to give a word of God to you. See, they're asking, that was a man in the elevator with a woman, you know, she said, what you do? Talking about she was a heart doctor and all that. She looked at him kind of funny and said, well, what do you do? You know, he was looking there, and he said, she said, well, I'm a heart doctor. You know, I make all this money. I'm the one to save people's lives and all that. And then he looked out and said, what do you do? He said, I'm the one they call when you fail. He said, I'm the preacher. They call me when you fail. So you better quit looking at the church and the preacher in a bad way, because this is the spiritual hospital. And sometimes God put a doctor on there to put your hand on somebody and heal them. If anybody in this house know, if I make it to church, everything will be all right. Be all right. Be all right. Gonna be all right if I make it there. I'm just reminded of that little boy that was lost. He couldn't find his way home, way across town. Might have been in Winfield over there across town. But all of a sudden the police drove up and say, son, what your address is? He said, I don't know my address. He said, what's your mama name? I don't really know her name. Where she live at? I don't know where she live at. But I tell you what, if you get me to that place with that steeple on top of it, I'll make my way home. All you got to do is drop me off to the church, and I'll make my way home. Because mama been bringing me to church all these days, and I know how to get my way from church. Is there anybody in this house? You brought me to New Zion today, and you done messed up, devil, because I'm going to praise the Lord, and I'm going to get what I need. We used to play this game. When I was young, we used to say hide and go seek. We used to count to 10, and then we get there and say, ready or not, here I come. Is there anybody in here? Say, I'm the true church, because ready or not, he's on his way back. You better get ready, get ready, get ready, because the Lord is on his way back. Is there anybody in here? Say, I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to worship with the tears. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to bless him while I got time, because I know everything going to be all right. But I'm reminded of Jesus when he told them, if I be lifted up, I'll draw on. I dare you to lift me up. And they stretched him wide, and they hung him high, and he dropped his head and the lock of his shoulders, and he died. Didn't he die? He died. He died. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Did he get up in you? If you know you the true church, then say yeah, 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 I know the Lord been good to somebody in here for 113 years. I know you got a better praise than that. Have you tried the Lord? Have the Lord came through? Because every time I turn around, he keeps on, making a way. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Do we not give God praise for his word today? Don't you give God praise for the word that we receive today? Give God praise for the word that we receive today. And we thank God for the word bearer on this day. Give God praise for this man of God. Amen. Our hearts are still burning, and our hearts need to continue to burn after hearing such a word from on high. At this moment, what we'd like to do is offer Jesus to someone.
Thank you, Lord.
The church is still taking patience. We're still open for business. The church is still open for you. God is still open for you. Christ is still open for you. We learn today that it's not an escape from the world, but he'll give us power over the world. It's not a perfect place to be. You have other sick people here,
but at least you'll be under the doctor's
care. We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service and senior missions and patrons meeting, 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May He lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.
Hey, this is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak. It's 301 AD, Armenia. 14 years in prison has left Gregory pale and gaunt, but more committed to Christ than ever. The king has grown bitter and mad because even though he has had many Christians tortured and killed, the gospel continues to spread. Despite all warnings, Gregory insists on a private audience with the king. After a scuffle and a long silence, the two men emerge from the king's chambers as friends. Armenia becomes the first country to legalize Christianity. The king's family is baptized, and the bold prisoner earns the name Gregory the Illuminator.
For more on the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
In the darkness, where everything is unknown, I face the power of sin on my own. I did not know of a place I could go, where I could find a way to heal my wounded soul. You said that I could come into His presence without fear, into the holy place where His mercy hovers near. I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling me.
Just have faith when you pray.